Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, it's great to be with you guys this morning. Thank you so much for coming out. And I pray that the Lord would meet with you today. Amen. Are you guys all okay? Amen. All right, so we are in the middle of a series called the Overcomers series, or the Overcomers Legacy, or the Legacy of an Overcomer. We're actually in part number three. If you were not here for part one and two, don't worry, you'll be fine today. This can be an individual message all in itself. But I do highly recommend that you go get part one and two to understand the fullness of what we're talking about. What I will do is lay a very basic foundation, just purely because it's important for you to keep your mind on this as we move through this message. As we navigate through it this morning, this scripture I've quoted in every single part of the series because you have to grasp this fact. Ephesians 2 verse number 8, this is what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So you need to understand that it's a gift. Salvation is a gift. It's something that you have been given by faith. If you believe, if you trust God, if you receive the grace of Jesus, that His love that comes because of what He did on Calvary, that's what saves you. If you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. Amen. The Bible wants you to know that it is the gift of God. It is not of yourself. And He goes on to say, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So you need to understand, this is very important, that your works do not save you. Your works did not get you saved. Your works will not save you. Your works are what need to proceed from your salvation. But that's not how you were saved. You were not saved by works. The Bible, in fact, goes on to say your works are like filthy rags. So let's see. Verse number 10, it says, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were saved by grace to do good works. So in other words, when we say works, people get very confused. They start thinking about all the stuff they have to do. This is what it means. It means that God saved you because you have a destiny. And He wants you to use that great salvation, that incredible gift that He's given you. He wants you to use it so that you can preach the same message, bring the same message that Jesus did, which was the gospel of the kingdom. He wants you to preach. He wants you to share His love. He wants you to share the story, the salvation, the grace that's been shared with you. He wants you to share it everywhere you go. That's your destiny. Good works. That's what will automatically proceed from someone that has given their lives to Jesus. Saved by grace, created to do good works. In fact, the Bible says that those works were prepared for you beforehand. God knew you long before you were born. He knew you would be right here, right now, and He has a plan for your life. He created you to walk out your destiny, your purpose, to use this amazing salvation that you've been given. Isn't that awesome, guys? Isn't that awesome? Now we see that in the Bible talks about overcomers. Overcomers. Those that overcome certain things in this world. There are benefits, privileges. There's rulership. There are crowns. There are gifts that are provided for those who overcome in the next life. If you read the book of Revelation specifically several times, and in fact throughout scripture, Paul speaks about crowns. It speaks about those who overcome will sit on my throne. But the Bible speaks of rulership, authorities, all kinds of things that will take place for you as a believer if you overcome in this world. Well, overcome what? Overcome the same things that Jesus had to overcome. Jesus had to overcome this world. Jesus had to overcome the flesh. And Jesus had to overcome the enemy. And He did. And because He did, you also can. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now you know you've been saved by grace. It's a gift to do good works. What you do with your salvation will affect the way you spend eternity. And this is very important. So because Jesus overcame, he was able to fulfill his destiny. If you do not overcome, you will stay in a place of not being able to do your destiny because you can't overcome yourself, you can't overcome the flesh, you can't overcome the enemy, you can't overcome this world, and you cannot do the works of God. Jesus called you to be a disciple, not to be saved. Yes, you are destined to be saved, but to be a disciple. Why? So that in this life, what you do with that salvation will affect the eventual plan. We tend to think earthly. God thinks way beyond what's going on here. He has an eternal plan for your life. I don't know about you, but that's kind of cool, right? Okay, and if you go and listen to the first parts, we talk about heaven and all that stuff. Let's go on. How do we overcome this world? If Jesus overcame, how do we overcome? Well, I taught you. We need to start to make faith decisions. Last week, we looked at how we overcome the world. The Bible describes the world as the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. Again, I don't want to go too much into that. Go look at that. But basically, you don't want to respond to everything by your emotions, specifically strong desire. The world will give you, there will be a strong desire to go after things, and those things will lead you away from Christ, and you will not be able to overcome. You will end up staying in a place of defeat, shame, and it'll be really difficult for you. You'll just kind of survive and stumble into heaven. Okay, it's true. This week, we're going to take a look at overcoming the flesh. But first, how do we overcome the world? We overcome with our faith, making faith choices. 1 John 5, verse number 4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes this world." Let me ask you a question. Most of you sitting here have already given your lives to Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You have already been born of God, correct? Okay, this is good. Like a little enthusiasm. Yeah, okay. You have the Holy Spirit, and this is the victory that has overcome this world. What is it? Our faith. So with faith, we can overcome every obstacle. Because when you're in that situation, it's faith in understanding what God has done for you, what's available to you, that will get you to move on. Are you with me? So how do we overcome the flesh? And what is the flesh? Now understand, the world speaks of the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. The flesh includes some of those things, but I want you to take a look a little bit deeper this morning. You'll find out that simply what the flesh is it speaks of your old nature. When you get born again, there is a new nature. What nature is that? It's the nature of the Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit comes in you when you get saved. Your spirit becomes born again. That is a different nature to the nature that you have as a human being, human nature. What you'll find out is when you get saved, your spirit gets born again, but inside you, your soul and your flesh is like kind of wanting to go back to the old things, kind of wanting to revert to the way we feel, kind of wanting to go back to doing the things that we did before. Human nature, human response. Reacting to certain things, looking in a way where we don't think about what God has to say about a situation, judging according to our flesh, making decisions based on our flesh. Those are all fleshly things, and they are contrary to the Spirit. So there's a battle that's taking place. There is a battle that's taking place. The flesh is also our physical body. In other words, if I become someone, if I had to say to you, right, I can overcome this world, I can overcome my flesh, I can do it. I have the ability. I can do it in my strength. What strength? You have no strength. As soon as you do that, what you're doing is you're saying, I can do it in my flesh. I can overcome in my flesh. No, you can't. Trust me, you can't, because your flesh is weak, but your spirit is willing. Your spirit wants to go for it. Your spirit thinks you can fly. I promise you it does. But your flesh thinks, no. Didn't you watch the news last night? Didn't you see what's going on? You cannot overcome anything. They're going to burn down your house tomorrow. All kinds of stuff, right? That's what the flesh is always doing. The flesh is always pulling in the natural, pulling you towards tendencies, feelings, whereas the spirit is saying, what does God say? This is your destiny. There's the spirit inside you. I've given you power. I've equipped you. I've enabled you to do what you're supposed to do. Are you with me? So we need to understand that there is something going on. There is a battle actually taking place on the inside of you. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says it like this. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So there is an ultimate sanctification that needs to take place and will one day. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you get saved, your spirit gets born again. You become a born again believer. Your spirit will live forever. Okay? Your soul is being saved. Your soul is not yet completely saved because your soul is controlled primarily by the flesh. And so that's where renewing the mind comes in. That's where changing it. What is the soul? The soul is your will, your intellect, your emotions, your feelings. That's the soul dimension. The soul speaks of desires, your will, your intellect, the old nature. That's the soul. And that's the process, what we call sanctification. It's a process. The actual flesh itself will never be good. It's always bad. It's just because it's, you know, completely fallen. But what will happen is when we eventually ultimately go to be with the Lord, we will be glorified. Our bodies will be glorified. We'll get a new body. Amen. So we will be fully sanctified. Saved at the beginning, our spirit, our soul is being saved all the time, but ultimately our body, soul, and spirit will all be sanctified and will be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's the plan. Now don't forget, saved by grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast, not of yourself. You were saved by grace. Are you with me? But just because you were saved doesn't mean there's not a battle going on the inside of you. God has a plan for your life, and God has certain things that he says in his word, and your flesh is going, that doesn't make sense. Ooh, that's too weird. That's supernatural. That doesn't gel with me. That's not normal. I don't like that. And the Bible describes this battle. In fact, in Galatians 5:17, it says this, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Did you hear that? It actually says that, guess what? There's a war going on inside you between the spirit and the flesh, and you will end up doing the things that you don't want to do. How many of you think that's fun? Not me. There's nothing nice about doing what you know you shouldn't do. It's painful, right? So what exactly is the nature of the flesh? What kind of things are we talking about? Let's go to Galatians 5, verse number 19. We'll read it in the New Living Translation so that it's plain and easy to understand. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the old man, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Listen to me. There are things on that list. There are things on that list, and there are things not on that list. Let me give you a few more before I say this. Things that the flesh would want to do. Things like pride, arrogance, revenge, spite, resentment, selfishness, even doubt. Doubt is a sin. And doubt is the fleshly nature. The spirit is full of faith. Where your soul is going, I'm not so sure. So there's a war between the part that's saying, let's go, and the part that's saying, I don't think so. Are you with me, guys? So we know that it's difficult. We know that it's difficult. If you haven't noticed, it is hard to deal with this stuff in your walk. That's the truth. So what does the Bible say? Luke 9:23. Watch this now. Now remember, saved by grace to fulfill our destiny. Are you with me? Luke 9:23. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let's stop there. Look at me. If anyone desires to come and fulfill their destiny, to come after me, to follow after me, to do as I have done, to be a testimony of me, there is something that is required of him. What is it? Let him deny himself. Okay, what does that mean? I'm so glad you're asking. How do you deny yourself? You deny yourself by doing the following, by taking up your cross daily and following him. Now, if you study the Bible, you study the story of Jesus, you'll find out that the cross was painful. In other words, to make the decision that Jesus made to go to the cross was one that was very painful and caused great suffering. He suffered. He made a decision. He chose to go to the cross. That's what the word says. Not only did he choose to go to the cross, but he lived his whole life that way. He made faith choices his whole life. From when Jesus was 30 years old and we study his life, you will find out that everything he did was a faith choice. It had to be, because otherwise the price that was paid, there would have been guilt because he would have sinned. He did not sin. So because he did not sin, he was executed unrightfully. That's why there can be an exchange. So his execution pays for your sin because he was punished unrightly. There's an exchange. Your sin for his death. Because he didn't sin. Isn't it amazing? Man, I don't know about you, but I am so thankful. I am so grateful for that. But he says that in your journey, there's going to be this battle between your flesh and the spirit. And with this battle taking place, in order for you to win the battle and submit to the flesh and not the, and submit to the spirit and not the flesh, you have to pick up your cross and do what with it? You have to crucify your flesh. Not in the natural. You don't have to beat yourself or climb on a cross or anything like that. What he's talking about is he's saying you must put to death. You must every day pick up your cross. It's going to be a thing that you're going to have to do daily, because that old nature is going to want to rise up all the time. So it's going to require you to actually physically make a decision not to submit to that nature. That will bring something. It will bring suffering. Well, what is suffering, and should we suffer? I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this morning. Are you guys okay in Vero Beach this morning? This is the 11 o'clock service. By now, you've had 5 cups of coffee. Second Timothy 3, verse number 12 says this, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You'll also possibly suffer persecution. The key word here is that every Christian that wants to become an overcomer in Christ will suffer with him. Sharing in his suffering, listen to me, prepares you for glory. You're already saved. But if you want to fulfill your destiny, it's going to hurt a little bit, because you're going to have to put that flesh down. Making that decision when something's going wrong in your life, making that God decision instead of submitting to your feelings, is going to hurt. But the ultimate result will be one that will lead to glory. Are you with me, guys? I know this is not popular, but this is the word of God. Amen? Hebrews 5, verse number 8 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Jesus himself had to suffer. Hebrews 2, verse number 10 says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Romans 8:16 says it like this. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Yes, that's awesome. And if children, then heirs. Are you all glad that we are heirs with him? Amen. Okay, watch. Let's read on. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, you must understand, In order for you to rule, in order for you to have crowns, in order for you to be given authority in the next life, it will require you to put your flesh down. Why? Because if you don't do it, you cannot step into your destiny. You will be fighting. Your battle will be with your flesh all the time, and you will never move into glory. You'll never move into actually being used. Most Christians struggle most of their life just dealing with forgiving themselves for their own issues. They never move past that. Never mind getting to the next phase, which we'll talk about next week, which is kicking devil butt. You were created to be on this earth with authority and power. You're the church of Jesus Christ. You are His body. You are His bride. You have been given authority. Let's use it. But most of us can't even move past the place where we're still struggling to forgive ourselves for what we did 10 years ago. Well, God can't use me, Pastor Alex. You don't know what I did. Did you forget what He did for you on the cross? Have you forgotten how great a price it was? Oh, you know, Pastor Alex, I know there's nothing you can do about how bad you are. Welcome to the club. Let's make a decision to run the race right now. Let's get up from this place and let's begin to run our race. Let's not live in the past anymore. Let's run forward. Let's not look at the things that are behind us and let's look forward towards the prize. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Let's give the Lord a clap and a shout in this place. You know, Pastor Alex, suffering has nothing to do with the flesh. Okay. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse number 2. No, verse number 1. 1 Peter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer shall live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts, for the flesh lusts of men, but for the will of God. That will become your desire. You have to understand that the suffering that you will experience is in the realm of your flesh. Listen, even when something happens in your life that goes wrong, it can be anything. It can be a death. It can be anything that's really hard on you. The way you respond may cause suffering. But you have to understand how important it is that you make the right choice. Because if you don't make the right choice, you're going to struggle in that place. If you make the right choice, what choice? A faith choice. What is a faith choice? A faith choice is responding to His word. I submit to you, God. I submit to your word. Your word is truth. I know that I don't understand what's going on right now. But I know, Father, that if I'm in you, that all things will work together for the good. I don't understand it. It's really hard, but I submit to that word. I submit to that truth, and I know you'll get me through this. I had a situation last week where there was some major tension. Something was going on, and I thought, man, we're in trouble. This is going to be bad. And I was like freaking out. And I put the phone down, and I put the music louder in the car, and I said, okay, God, this is yours. I'm giving it to you. I know you're in control. I know you'll protect us. I know you'll take care of us. There was nothing, no sin to admit or anything like that. So don't stress out. And I'm just busy speaking to Him. And it was amazing the favor that we had. God sorted it out just like that. Now you need to understand there are moments where you will not feel the victory immediately. You will still have to suffer because of the right choice that you made. But it's still going to create, it's going to create something for you in eternity that you will never even be able to grasp in this lifetime. And it prepares you. Because what happens is, a Christian was never born to be insy witsy, polka dot bikini Christians. We were not born to be like that. We were born to be warriors. We were born to have authority. He said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And He gave that authority to us, guys. Isn't that amazing? Then He said, listen, wait for the Holy Spirit because He's going to give you power. So guess what? Here I am, Lord. I'm ready. I need your Holy Spirit. I thank you that it's a promise. I'm ready, Lord. Come upon me, Holy Spirit. Lead me and guide me. Show me the way. Tell me what to do. Tell me what to say. Tell me what to think. Fix my heart. Lead me into paths of righteousness. Lord, I trust you with everything. And then when you begin to do that, that's when power begins to come in your life and you begin to operate with supernatural divine power. That is your destiny. Not to just exist. We were not called to exist. Everything is spiritual. Everything. What's happening in our nation right now is a response to an evil force in the spirit. And then as the nation begins to submit to that spirit, so it gets worse and worse because that spirit gets empowered. So what do we do as Christians? No, let's go on Facebook and make posts and upset everybody. No, let's get on our knees and fight in the spirit where it matters. Well, what kind of spirit is this, Pastor Alex? It's simple. It's an antichrist spirit. That's what it is. It's antichrist, anti the anointing, anti-authority. Deal with it. It comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Look, in every dimension. Come on, guys. Oh, I don't want to get into that. Okay. Suffering will be a direct result of denying yourself, picking up your cross and following Him. Galatians 2:20 says it like this. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul, you know, we living in the flesh, man, and it's hard. And he makes this awesome statement. Listen to how awesome it is. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. In other words, I've made a decision. I'm going to follow Him with everything. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to put down my flesh. He says, I'm going to do this. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, watch this, I live by faith. In other words, the only way I'm going to overcome it is by faith. I know I can't do it. That's why he says somewhere else, the things I don't want to do, I do. I end up doing those things I don't want to do. There's a war in my members that's going on. He understood that there's no way he could overcome. So what did he say? He said, the only way I can do it is by faith. Faith in what? Understanding what happened when Jesus gave his life for us. That even as you make mistakes, there's grace for you. That doesn't mean we live in that. Don't be silly. You'll just hurt yourself. He called us to run a race. And if we don't begin to strive, if we don't begin to seek that, if we don't go after it, if we don't accept that, listen, being a real Christian, an overcomer, is not always going to be fun. It's going to hurt. It's going to require making the right decisions. When you fight with your husband next week, don't go to the bar. That's not a faith choice. That's a flesh choice. Guess what? The result will be painful. Even if your husband came home drunk, two fleshly results don't turn out good. Are you with me? Someone's got to make a faith choice. So what should you do when he comes home drunk? Go lock yourself in the room. Put worship music on. Begin to intercede. Cry out to God. Make a decision to seek Him. What's going to change your husband? You are. You will change him. How? By the life that you live. Let your story be a testimony. Well, I've been doing it for years. We'll do it some more. Keep on going. Are you guys okay? Listen, if you go home drunk, you bad men. Husbands. You shouldn't do that. Amen. The Bible says that you should not be drunk with wine, but you should be filled with the Spirit. Okay, I didn't say that you can't have a glass of wine. I said you must not be drunk. Relax. Pastor Alex said we can drink. That's not what I said. Okay, let's just move on. Philippians 3, verse number 10. I'm not really close to being finished. Okay. Philippians 3, verse number 10. Are you guys okay? Is it making sense? I want this to be practical so you understand it. Philippians 3, 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained, for I am am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus also lay hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and what must we do? And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So Paul was saying, I'm not going to focus on my mistakes. I'm not going to focus on my weaknesses. I'm not going to focus that I persecuted the church. I'm not going to focus on that anymore. I'm going to press forward toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There are a people, listen. There are a people right now on the planet. There is a generation right now on this planet, right now. A generation of people that have decided that they don't want to just make it to heaven. They want to be overcomers. They want to press on towards the call of God, the upward call of God, and be used to fulfill destiny and purpose. Listen, if someone said to you, get saved, it's going to be fun, they lied. It's going to require you to put down your flesh. It's going to require you to pick up your cross. But let me tell you something. The reward is far beyond what you could ever imagine, not only in the next world, but even in this world. Because once you have tasted his presence, once you know his spirit and you begin to have relationship, you can never be the same again. Get saved, they said. It would be fun, they said. It'll save you for eternity, yes. But have you ever heard of a fun battle? Have you spoken to a soldier that went to war? Did he say, oh man, it was so fun? No. You need to understand, as a Christian, you are in a war against the devil. And not only that, but we have to deal with this old nature that likes the stuff the devil likes, unfortunately. All right. So what do we do if we really desire to overcome, but we make mistakes? How do we deal with those mistakes so that we can continue to overcome without staying in that place? Because that's the problem. Many of us stay in that place. I'm going to give you 4 points. The first point is we have to acknowledge our sin. Don't try to hide it or justify it. Confess it to God. Go to him and confess it. Acknowledge it. 1 John 1 verse number 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confessing our sins to him brings freedom and enables us to overcome. Can you say amen? Isn't that awesome? So the Bible says that if we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Not only will he forgive us, but he will also cleanse us from that unrighteousness. The second thing we do is we repent. When you're running your race and something goes wrong, confess it and then repent. Repent simply means to go the other way. Make a decision to turn from this thing. Listen, don't keep going back to it. It's foolish. That means you haven't really repented. Don't keep going back to it. It's just going to hurt you. Listen, his grace is sufficient. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. That doesn't mean you live in it. It's going to cost you, I can assure you. And I taught you last week that all sin is not equal. From the word, not from me. Jesus said when he spoke to Pilate, he said, the one who brought me, he has the greatest sin. That means that there are some that have done certain sins that are greater than other sins. There are sins that lead to death and sins that don't lead to death. The only sin that's unforgivable is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. So all sins are not equal. Are you with me? Certain sins hurt you more than others. Certain sins will get you into trouble. But I want you to know that the price was paid for all of them. For all of them. I'm going to say it again. You cannot classify. It was paid for all of them. But you must bear fruits of salvation. Otherwise, your salvation is even questionable. Okay, I don't want to get into that. Let's keep going. Are you okay? Saved by grace, not of works. So what do? When we mess up, we acknowledge it, we confess it to Him, and we repent. But there's another thing. Many people feel like they're repenting, but they're not getting anywhere. The reason why they don't get anywhere is because they're forgetting the condition to asking for forgiveness. There is a condition. The Bible says it like this, Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In other words, when we repent and we ask for forgiveness, there is a condition. We also have to forgive those who have sinned against us. We have to let it go. The Bible teaches us when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? He said, you pray like this. And one of the things He said is, you say, forgive us our trespasses. Here's the condition. As we forgive those who trespass against us. Why? So that you can be free. If you don't forgive, you will be bound and you cannot overcome because you cannot progress. You will find you'll be stuck. You were not born to be, to just make it to heaven, guys. You were born to overcome. God has, the only one who suffers when you don't forgive is you. You will suffer so much. Let it go. Listen, if you know someone has hurt you and you think your anger or your unforgiveness towards them is going to hurt them, let them go and say, God, you sort this person out, please. I give it to you. I forgive them. I give it to you, Lord. He's good and just. He will take care of it. Do you trust Him? Yes. Listen, you trust Him with your life. Trust Him with your problems as well. Amen. Forgive. And then you will be forgiven. So we repent, we ask for forgiveness, and He forgives us. Are you with me? So once we've done that, what's the next step? There is another step, and it's a very important step. The next thing that we have to do is once we've made a mistake, we need to take it to the cross. Step number three is take it to the cross. What do I mean by that? You need to understand that when you take your sins to the cross, what it means is you need to understand at that moment you receive grace. Grace is released to you. Why? Because the price was so great that grace is automatically released. If you truly have repented, you will be forgiven. Look at what the Bible says. Watch this. Hebrews 9:14 says it like this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot of God, cleanse your conscience. There's the problem. It's the mind. From dead works to serve the living God. The problem is, what happens is, many Christians, once they've made a mistake, they think they have to work their way out of it. No. You are forgiven. Receive the grace. That's why Paul said, it's by faith that I can do this. I can deal with the flesh. Because he knew if he makes a mistake, he has to make a faith choice and continue to run the race. You are no less a son and daughter of God when you make a mistake. Receive the grace of God that has been poured out to you. Get up and continue to run your race. No, I don't want to receive this. Why? Are you trying to tell me that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient for your sin? He doesn't always like your attitude, but that's another sermon for another day. But if you repent, guys, He will forgive you. even your repentance, you can't do without the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, but Pastor Alex, you know, my heart, the Bible says that your heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. He's the only one that knows your heart. Naomi and I were talking about this over the weekend. We were saying, I just want to always make sure my heart's good. And I said to her, we have to be so careful because sometimes we think our heart is good, but the heart will deceive you. That's how people get into deception and make bad decisions. So what do? We test all things with the word. If your decision in any way is a result of your emotions or feelings, you might be in trouble. Are you with me? Man, it's quiet in Vera Beach. These are four good points, right? Three good points, one more. So once we've done that, once we've given it to God, once we've repented, now we've accepted the grace of Christ, what do we need to do? The next thing is you have to feed yourself with the word. You have to renew your mind. Your mind has been perhaps polluted. Your mind is not in a good place. You're full of, shame and all that stuff. Now you have to go and see what God says about you. The Bible says it like this. It's in the book of Romans. Let's go to Romans. Romans 12, verse number 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul understood. He understood that by God calling us to put down our flesh so that he could use our lives and shine through us, it was really our reasonable service. If you recognize what's been done for you on the cross, you will recognize that's your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. The word conformed there means fashioned. Don't allow the world to subscribe to you what's right and wrong. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as you end up doing something that isn't right or whatever, you sin, whatever, you've gone to the cross, and now you begin to renew your mind. You begin to fill your mind with the word. That's why remembering scripture, quoting scripture will help you so much. Studying the word of God, seeing what God has to say, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, making faith choices, being in the word, it'll get you right out of it. And what begins to happen, I'm so glad you're asking, because the Bible tells us that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God? What is His will? That you would do good works. That you would fulfill your destiny. That you would fulfill your purpose. No one looks excited. That's great. All right. Let's put it all into perspective. Let me share with you from a story in the Bible. Let's go to Luke 15, verse number 11. This is a parable that Jesus gave about a prodigal son. Most of you know the story. I want you to remember the context of this entire series is that as an overcomer, there is a legacy for you. Part of legacy is inheritance. That inheritance that God has for you, there are things you will inherit in this earth, which are things that He has given to you that are in the kingdom. When you're in the kingdom, you access the kingdom, authority and power, being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, no longer you are in this world, but no longer of this world. But there is also an inheritance that comes afterwards based on what you did with what was given to you on this earth. Now watch this story from a different perspective. Then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. Now watch. So he divided to them. Everybody say them. So he didn't just give his one son inheritance. He gave them both his inheritance. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not too many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country and wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Let's stop there. You have been given something on this earth, eternal life, salvation, and God wants you to use it. He didn't just give it to you so you could float by and make it to heaven. He gave it to you so that you could step into your destiny, so that you could use that inheritance, so that you could become all that you're called to do. This story is amazing because we see the son go and waste his inheritance. But there's such a great lesson to those who have perhaps done that with their life, have wasted what God has given. And as an incredible example, this young man repents. He comes back to his father. And when he comes back to his father embraces him with such such love and compassion and mercy. In fact, the Bible says he gives him a ring and he puts a robe on him and he puts sandals on his feet, which speaks of authority, which speaks of identity, which speaks of inheritance and all kinds of things. And it's a beautiful picture of repentance. And you need to know that at any time in your life, if you choose to run back to God, he will be just like that with you. But what we seem to often forget is, what about the other son? What about the son that was faithful, that made a decision to take and to be faithful to what was given to him? Let's go take a look. Let's go in the Bible, same passage, but let's go down to verse 25. So the younger son's come back. The father's killed the fatted calf. They're having a big party for the son because he's returned. And the older son doesn't quite understand what's going on. Watch this. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might be merry with my friends." Many of you will often think, well, you know, it's so much fun to be out there. Why can't I just go and do all of that? But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. Watch this now. Verse 31. And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me." Look at this. "And all that I have is yours." In other words, your faithfulness, your desire to be honorable, to seek after me, will end up giving you all that I have. Now, I didn't say that to you to make you feel guilty if you've never been faithful all the time. There's stories in the Bible. There's another parable that gives a beautiful example of one who starts doing his job really well from early and one who does it late, and they end up getting paid the same. Only God knows how he will judge. But the point is that right now you are still alive. Begin to seek him with all of your heart, guys. Don't live to just make it to heaven. Be someone that desires to be an overcomer so that you can step into your destiny and purpose. Listen. Doesn't matter how old you are. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, I haven't been faithful to the Lord. I'm now 89 years old and I don't have, you know, maybe 10, 20 years left. What about the lady that led Billy Graham to the Lord? One person. You can make a difference in one person's life that will save and change the entire planet. And you will share in the spoils. Don't underestimate what God wants to do with you. You are not still here by mistake. He has a plan for your life. I don't know about you, but I'm so grateful for the goodness of God. I'm so grateful for His mercy, for His love, for His compassion. I'm so grateful. But we were not called to live in guilt and shame, and we were called to overcome. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, this morning in this place, we give you thanks and praise and all the glory and honor. We know that there's a war on the inside of us taking place, Father, between the spirit and our flesh, the old nature. But I also know, Father, that if we choose to submit to the Spirit, that our very nature will begin to change. The Bible says that we are changed from glory to glory if we, in the mirror of His Word. His Word will actually change us and we will begin to transform more and more and more. But the only thing, the only person that we need to bring that transformation is the Lord Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we ask You this morning that You would be our strength, that You would lead us and guide us, that You would help us to make the right choices. And Lord, and even when we do feel the pain of not submitting to our flesh, that we would rejoice in what's to come. Father, I pray for every person that's here this morning, for they are not destined to fail, but to overcome. Because greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Father, I pray no person in this place will look back anymore. No person will look at their faults, their mistakes, and think that they can't make it. They can't become everything You've called them to be because of what they did. Let us be like Paul that says, I no longer look back, but I look forward towards the upward call of God. Father, I pray this morning in the mighty name of Jesus that You would bring great joy to every person in this place. That they will know that if they surrender to You, power will be released. The power of the Holy Spirit will be released and You will be able to overcome every obstacle, every challenge, everything the enemy throws at you. And if you stumble, you will repent, you will confess, you will run to the cross, put it at the cross, leave it and continue to run your race. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray this morning that Your power would be released in the lives of every person here this morning, Lord. Can you lift your hands for just a moment? Just open your hearts right now. Holy Spirit, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that You fill them up this morning. Holy Spirit, only the way that You can do it. You are so wonderful. Fill this place, Lord. Fill every person this morning with strength, with endurance. Let them overcome. Let them finish their race, Father. I come against the powers of darkness, the enemy that desires to bring death and destruction and lie to You. I come against him now. I come against the spirit of condemnation, the enemy that brings condemnation. I break Your power off them now in Jesus' name. And I give You thanks and praise. I ask Holy Spirit that You strengthen them, fill them, fill them, fill them, Lord. More of You. Lord, as Your word says, more of You, more of You. This is our desire. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If you begin to seek Him, if you begin to go after Him, if you make a decision that you're going to run this race with all of your heart, He will fill you. You will find Him. He will lead you and guide you into paths of righteousness. He will make your path straight. He will get you through every challenge, through every obstacle. Father, we give You thanks this morning in the mighty name of Jesus, for there is none like You. We exalt You, we praise You, we magnify You. Can somebody give the Lord a shout in this place? Amen. 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 You guys okay? All right, we are done. Amen. All right, let me bless you and release you. Don't forget, next week, we finish the series with overcoming the enemy. Amen. Amen. Now go in the peace of God. Go in the strength and the might of the Holy Spirit. That you would be strengthened and encouraged. That your life would become a living sacrifice, that at the end of days you would be able to say, it was by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, my story, that I overcame the enemy. Father, I pray that You would bless them. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with each and every person this morning as they leave this place. We love You, we praise You, we honor You, we glorify You. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day, and we will see you next week.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.